text are the three lessons today, but hear these words. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Brothers and sisters in the Lord, St. Paul was speaking from his own personal experience when he said one day, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is come." Salvation, Paul knew, was a gift that had been given to him. He was a human being who was always grateful for that gift of a second birth into the kingdom of God, and yet it wasn't something that he ever really expected to happen to him. Because unlike many people today who are just indifferent to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was a violent persecutor of the church. No, it was nothing that he could have ever earned for himself, the way that a Boy Scout might strive to do what's necessary to get that merit badge, or a Girl Scout may try her hardest to rack up some brownie points. You know, it all happened by the grace of God, not because of something, but because of someone. The risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the brightness and the brilliance of his resurrected life appeared there before Paul, and Paul was immediately blinded, we know, for 3 days. There was a man who was a Christian living in Damascus who had heard about this, and he welcomed Paul, Saul of Tarsus, into his home. He had heard what a mean man he was and all the awful things that he was doing, as Ananias did, another disciple living in Damascus, and yet the Lord God spoke to Ananias through a dream and told him to go over there to this other man's house whose name happened to be Judas. Not Judas Iscariot, this is another Judas. And the Bible's even very, spells it out plainly when it tells us that he lived in Damascus on Straight Street, S-T-R-A-I-T Street. When Ananias went over there, he shared the good news of the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ with Saul of Tarsus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Paul confessed his sins, and Paul was made a member of the church that day. Paul became a new creation in Christ. You know, Paul teaches that, of course, when we come to faith in Christ, there are some changes that happen to us immediately, but it's also a long process. When the Holy Spirit carries out his ministry of sanctification in our lives, it's not so much that God's changing us in our outward appearance, but more and more the Holy Spirit is working on us through our life in the church, changing our hearts and minds more and more, hopefully, into the likeness and the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ. Whether he knew it or not, Paul at that point was responding to the call to discipleship of Jesus that goes out to believers not just one time in their life, but many different times. If anybody would be my disciple, at that point there were thousands of people who were following Jesus. They loved to hear his teaching. They were fascinated by his miracles and the like. And yet Jesus said, if you really want to be one of my people, if you want to be a lifelong student, if you want to learn to know God the way that God the Father has sent me to reveal him, you must deny yourself. You have to renounce your own agenda. You have to take up your cross. There were some who literally were crucified in the early church on the cross as martyrs. But what he's talking about, taking up the cross, is be willing to serve God in whatever way he calls upon us to serve. If anybody would be my disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The one who seeks to save his life, the person who's only living for self, the person who's only living for that which I can acquire and somehow better my own way of life. That person's life over time will be meaningless. You'll lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel's, why, there's so many people. I think of all those people who are out there helping the victims of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. Some who are professional first responders, firemen and policemen and the like, but others who are neighbors who maybe their house was not damaged so severely, but the houses of others are all around them, and so they gladly get up and they go and they help tear down the bad sheetrock and they haul out the furniture, the beds and the like that are ruined and never to be used again. You know, Paul may have thought that his life had meaning prior to his conversion to Jesus Christ. But after that, this is what he said. He couldn't believe that God had chose him for that awesome task of preaching to the Gentiles the unsearchable witness of Christ. And yet Paul was maintained a spirit of humility. He said to the Corinthians, "I'm the very least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Here he is, the senior pastor, writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. He says, "Tim, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief of sinners." It was the gospel lesson we heard last week. Jesus was with his disciples there on Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus, you remember, asked the question, "Who do other people that I say that I am?" And they came up with an assortment of answers. But the most important question, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And while Jesus, in his humanity, is so grateful for the answer, he goes on to caution Peter against becoming too haughty or too conceited because of the revelation that has been imparted to him. "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, Simon son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it's my Father in heaven who has revealed this to you." And at the end of that episode, Jesus tells the disciples, strangely enough, "Now I don't want you to share this information with anybody else. Don't tell anybody else that I'm the promised Savior. I'm the long-awaited Messiah." Because there were so many misconceptions that people were living when, as to what kind of Messiah, the promised Messiah, would be. They were hoping that he would be like King David, who lived 1,000 years before, that he would restore Israel to its former glory, that the military could be rebuilt and strengthened, and that they would make a name for themselves in the world. But Jesus had come instead to fulfill that prophecy of Isaiah, "The one who would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, upon him would be the punishment that makes us whole, and with his stripes we are healed." It was right after this that Jesus announces the Son of Man must. It's a very important word in the New Testament. It's three little letters, D-I-A, D-E-I, day. "The Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be crucified, and on the third day raise again." The Son of Man had to go to Jerusalem if he was going to fulfill the Old Testament scriptures, if he was going to become the sacrificial lamb that would take away all the sins of the world, if he were going to reconcile us to God, the Father. You know, here, at least in the beginning, Peter finds himself at odds with Jesus. Wouldn't be the first time, and it wouldn't be the last time, that the disciples were at odds with Jesus. Remember that day when young parents were bringing their little children to Jesus that he might bless them and touch them. And Mark tells us that the disciples spoke very sternly to those parents and tried to push them away. I'll never forget how it's phrased in the King James Version. Jesus responds, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for to such as these belong the kingdom of God." If you're not willing to accept the kingdom of God like a little child, you'll never be able to enter it. And it was near the eve of his crucifixion that here they were arguing among themselves as to who was the greatest in the presence of Christ himself. They were at odds with Jesus, but Jesus corrected them and he said, "It shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must become the servant of all, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." "Get behind me, Satan," he says to Peter. Because Peter's words seem to be so very reflective of the temptations that he experienced at the beginning of his ministry when he was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness where he was tested for 40 days and 40 nights. That wasn't the last time that he'd be at odds with Jesus, was it? Near the end of his life when he says, "Peter, I got something to tell you. I want you to listen up. I hope you'll hear this. Before the night's over, you're going to end up deny ever having known me. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice." "Oh, no, Lord. Not me. This could never happen to me. Why, I'd go to prison for you. Why, I'd die for you." And Jesus told him again, "You know that Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but Peter, I prayed for you, and you will be restored as he was on that Easter afternoon." You know, there are times when we as the human race, really it's what it means to be born into the world as sinners and have a sinful nature, we find ourselves at odds with a God who has created us and redeemed us. But the good news I want to share with you today is that God is no longer at odds with us. Paul said, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." All of this is from God, who through Christ has reconciled us to himself and committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Why, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, the Son of Man is still coming at the end of the time. You heard Jesus say that in the gospel lesson. And he'll require an accounting of all those who've ever lived. But blessed are those who know Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, who've taken away the sins of the world. You know, our being at odds with our Creator makes it so often true that we're also at odds with one another, even in the church. And that's why St. Paul is giving that exhortations of ethical commands in the second lesson today. Love what is genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Do not be slothful in deal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. There's a little story I shared a couple times in the last 19 years. I might share again this morning. You may have heard about that man who decided to become a monk, and the holy order of monks that he joined were the Benedictines, in which you had to take a vow of silence. You would only be allowed as a monk in that holy order to say two words every year at the end of the year. The man joined the monastery, and at the end of the year, the Monsignor asked him, "Now, what are your two words?" He said, "Bed's hard." And then the second year comes along, not having spoken a word for a second whole year. "What are your two words?" "Food lousy." And then at the end of the third year, "Okay, an opportunity to speak two words. What are your two words?" "I quit." The Monsignor said, "I'm not surprised, because all you've done is complain the whole time that you've been here." Now, can't we be like that? Can't we be like Jeremiah? Can't we find reasons to complain against our God? Rejoice with those who rejoice. And why can rejoice? Because there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Paul says in Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. set your mind no longer on mere earthly things, but on heavenly things. And when Christ, your light, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. May God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.